Scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read the first three verses of that chapter as an introduction to the story. Luke 15, 1 through 3, and then moving from 3 to verse 11 all through the end of the chapter. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother's back," he was told, "and your father's killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. And yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see the picture up there, it's pretty easy to tell who is who, isn't it? On the left-hand side, with the angry expression on his face, is the older son. The one kneeling and asking for mercy is the younger son. The father is on the right, and there is the fattened calf. I want to try and imagine today what the older brother might have to say about all this. Because we tend to always hear about the prodigal son, the younger one, and about the father, but not about the older brother. So we're going to try and imagine what his perspective might be. And I'm going to try and get in character to do this, and I'm going to give you a warning in advance, and that is that not all of the opinions you will hear voiced are necessarily the opinions of the pastor. They are, again, what I'm trying to imagine the older brother would say and think. Well, I'm a little embarrassed to be standing here this morning in front of you trying to defend myself. I usually come off looking like the bad guy in this story. I mean, look at the picture. And since you've probably heard this story several times, I doubt I'm going to be able to change your opinion of me in just a few minutes. But I'm going to give it a shot. And let's start with the title of the story. Most Bible versions call it the parable of the prodigal son, don't they? A parable is a story. Prodigal means lost. So this is really the story of the lost son. Now, I think they're talking about my younger brother, don't you? The one up there on his knees begging for forgiveness. The story of the lost son. Now, the problem is the story is really not about him. How does the story begin? It doesn't begin like this. It doesn't say, "There was a young man who had a loving father and an older brother." It doesn't say that, does it? It says, "There was a man who had two sons." So if anything, the story is really about my father, not about my brother. But for some reason, my loose-living younger brother has gotten the story named after him as if he is the main character. Let me read you something that I found a while back that just burns me up. Quote, "The story ends with the older brother standing outside the house in the yard with his father, listening to the party going on inside. Jesus leaves it that way, I think, because it's up to each one of us to finish the story. It's up to each one of us to decide whether we'll stand outside all alone being right or give up our rights and go inside to take our place at a table full of sinners." Unquote. That actually came from a book of sermons. Year after year, preachers start you off with the spectacle of my brother's blowing all of his inheritance and crawling back to dear old daddy, and they leave you staring in disgust at me because I don't want to join in the fun and games. Well, I think you ought to hear my side of the story. You need to know what it's like to be an older sibling. Maybe then you'll understand better why I reacted the way that I did. Now, it could be that some of you are older brothers or sisters. Anybody in here an older brother or sister? Quite a few of you. So some of this may sound familiar to you as I'm going along. As the story says, I had just come in from the fields. It was getting dark. I heard the music playing. I could smell the meat roasting. And I asked the field hands what was going on because I don't remember having planned a party. And he told me that my brother had come back and that Dad had not only forgiven him, but was throwing him a big party. Well, I was hurt. I was jealous. And I hate that I felt that way, but that's just how it is. Now, before you judge me for feeling that way, you need to hear what life is like for me. You need to know what it's like to be an older brother. And I would say that being an older brother, first and foremost, or an older sister, it doesn't really have anything to do with age. I know oldest brothers and sisters who aren't even the oldest one in their family. Being an older brother is about being responsible. You see, I managed a large farm for my family. My dad was getting on in years. It was natural that one of his sons would take over the business for him. Now, my brother has always been a little light between the ears, if you know what I mean. All he ever wanted to do was party, party, party. Somebody, though, had to look after Dad. And I couldn't just stand by and watch the family business go to pot. I was chosen because I was more mature and I was more responsible than my brother. Actually, I wasn't chosen. I took the job on for myself. I became a farm owner. Now, technically, that's what I was. Now, I know Dad still owned the farm. According to the law, it was still his. But he turned all the decision-making over to me. And since I was going to inherit half of his property, and my father had already given my brother his half, for all intents and purposes, I was now the owner of everything that was left. Let me tell you, it's tough owning something like a farm, owning a business. When you're the owner, you have to make the decisions about when and where to plow and plant. You have to pick the best seed. You have to decide how many head of livestock you can afford to raise. You decide when to move the flocks, when to shear them, when to put down the sick or weak animals. And then when a tight year comes along, and we know they come along, as the owner, as the manager, you have to make sure that enough has been put aside to carry you over until things finally get better. That's your responsibility. So if things are going poorly, no one is to blame but you. That's who I am. I'm an owner. I'm a manager. I'm a responsible man. I'm an older brother. It's hard for me to describe how I really felt the day that I watched my brother leave. He asked for his share of the inheritance early. That made me mad. In effect, he was saying to our father, "Daddy, I can't wait for you to die. I need my money now." And then he rode off into the sunset with the coins jingling in his pockets. Frankly, good riddance as far as I'm concerned. But you know, I was kind of jealous. You don't think I ever wanted to leave? You don't think I ever wanted to run away from it all like that? You think that I don't like good wine, fancy food, pretty women. I like the finer things in life too. But I am an older brother. I'm a responsible person. And there are people who've always expected me to take responsibility. From the day I was born, I was trained to be accountable as though everything would someday depend on me. I remember a time when I was younger and I was babysitting my brother. We were outside and he took off running like he usually did. And I told him that he needed to slow down or he was going to get hurt. But of course he didn't listen to me. He never has. And he tripped and fell and knocked out two of his front teeth. And when Daddy found out about it, who do you think got punished? Did he whip my brother for running around like a fool? For disobeying me? Nope. I was the one who got punished. Dad said I should have been taking better care of my little brother. I should have been more careful. So you see what I mean? I was taught early on that I was the serious one, that I was the one who had to take charge. Now, I'm not saying I completely regret this. It's not always a bad thing to be in charge. I just want you to understand the kind of person that I am. When you look at that picture up on the screen and think, well, he looks really mad, you need to understand why I'm that kind of person. You see, there's the kind of person who goes to a party, and then there's the kind of person who makes the party possible. There's the kind of person who likes to drink the wine and dance to the music at the party. And then there's the kind of person who makes sure there's enough wine to drink and that the musicians have been hired and paid. You know which kind of person I am. There's the kind of person who goes home when the party's over and just walks out of the door. And then there's the kind of person who stays behind and picks up the trash and wipes up the spills and sweeps the floor. You know which kind my brother is. You know which kind of person I am. Now, I'm not sure completely why people like my brother seem to be easier to love than people like me. You know, to me, his flaws are so obvious. He wasted money that came from generations of hard work on our farm. Generations of hard work. He went out and he blew it. He might as well have lit the bag of money with a flame and burned it up. He lived with loose women. God knows what he did. I don't want to know. Why is it easier to accept morally challenged people like my brother? Oh, I have a theory. You see, when people like my brother finally see how rotten they really are, when they finally break down and they beg for forgiveness, then they're pitiful. They're vulnerable. And nobody likes to pick on a vulnerable, pitiful person. We don't want to kick people when they're down. People like my brother are pitiful and vulnerable. I've got a drinking problem. I've got a drug problem. I've got a sexual addiction problem. Yeah, Tiger, we love that one. Blah, blah, blah. But you know, people like my brother are really more of a threat to themselves than they are to other people. Harmless fools. And I guess a harmless fool is easier to love. Me, on the other hand, I'm Mr. Tough. Nothing can get to me. I'm as hard as steel. And I guess that makes me hard to love, too. I don't know. But I have learned this. It doesn't mean that because I'm tougher that I'm better. You older brothers and sisters out there, look into your own hearts. You know as well as I do that we're all sinners. I work out in the fields with the hired help, and when it gets hot and they start to get tired and they make stupid mistakes, I can feel the anger coming up inside me because we don't have time to mess around out there. We've got work to do. I can't tell you the number of times I've smashed a hoe against the ground in anger. But better that, I guess, than somebody's head. I know it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's the nature of an older brother or sister to carry our anger and our sin hidden deep in our heart. I guess we hide it deep inside us like a tumor. But you know, honestly, think about it for a minute. What would you expect? Would a mature, responsible person really go home to Dad and say, Dad, guess what? I got really mad today and I busted an expensive farm tool on the ground. No, we're responsible people. You know, what I do is I go home and I make sure that we have another hoe Dad doesn't need to know about that. Our flaws are not for public display. We don't wear our hearts out on our sleeves like some people. Now, don't get me wrong. Being tough and being responsible has its own rewards. My father was right when he said, "You're always with me, and all that is mine is yours." That's true. It is great to look out on a field that's sprouting green and to know I had something to do with that. To appreciate the weight of a sack of golden grain. I love the satisfaction of a job well done. A place for everything and everything in its place. A household, a farm, a business running smoothly. Everybody fed, money in the bank, taxes paid. You know, I'm respected by people. People respect me. And I like being successful enough to be able to help people out, you see. I've got enough that I can help people out who don't have enough. We older brothers and sisters, we responsible people. We're the 99 sheep who can take care of ourselves. We're fine, shepherd. You go off and you find the lost sheep because we're going to hold the farm down. I know what the rewards are of being responsible. But it is still so hard to see that no good son of my father be treated the way that he was treated. He comes back home with nothing but the shirt on his back. And what does he get? He gets the ring. He gets the robe. He gets the brand new sandals. He gets the fatted calf. Now, do you know whose those were? Do you know whose ring that was? Do you know whose robe that was? Do you know whose new sandals those were? Do you know whose fatted calf that was? That's right. They were mine. All of that was mine. Technically, it's all my dad's until he dies. But that was part of my inheritance. But here is my brother coming back from wasting his inheritance, and now he's going to start using mine. And not only that, Dad was willing to take him back with no conditions. You want to forgive him, Dad? I got no problem with that. You're his father. That's your prerogative. But at least put him on probation or something. Make him live out with the field hands. Anything to help him to understand what it is that he has really done to this family. Now, I know in my mind that older brothers and older sisters are sinners like everybody else. I know in my mind that being responsible has its own rewards, but it is hard for me to stop feeling this anger towards my brother. Anyway, that's my side of things. The next time you hear this story, the parable of the prodigal son, the next time you picture me standing there in the shadows, clenching my teeth, you'll understand a little bit more where I'm coming from. But you know, even as I tell you this, I remember who it is that told the story originally. You know, it was Jesus who told this story. And as I think about that and what he intended, it's a little confusing to me. I wonder, how is it that I can be saved? Because it's pretty clear my brother, Jesus is saying, hey, here's this prodigal, he can be saved. How is it that I can be saved? How can we older brothers and sisters be saved? Jesus said there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. What is it exactly that I'm supposed to repent of? I didn't blow my inheritance. I didn't sleep around. I took care of my dad. I saved money. I didn't spend it all. How can I come home when I never left? What do you think? How can we be saved? We people who keep our anger smoldering inside us like a red hot coal. How can we be saved? We people who hide our sin inside rather than show it off for everybody to gawk at. How can we be saved, we people who are hard to love because we're not vulnerable or pitiful or needy? Well, maybe we could stop bearing all the responsibility ourselves. You know, I'm not God. I'm not God. I can't do everything. I can't be everywhere. I can't know everything. Sometimes things are going to go wrong. Despite my best efforts, I'm not all powerful. And you know, honestly, think about it. It's not always to my credit when things go right. And I make sure that people get their share of the credit. It's not always to my credit when things go right. Maybe it shouldn't always be my fault when things go wrong. Maybe I could start inviting the people around me to help share my burdens instead of trying to do everything myself. I could treat my employees like partners instead of like servants. I could treat my wife like a friend and an equal. I could ask my children to take more responsibility for themselves instead of trying to micromanage every little thing that they do. Yeah, I'd have to give up some control. I'd have to learn to trust other people to do the right thing and not always assume that they're not going to do it. But wouldn't it be worth it to me if it meant that my life would not be so lonely and so isolated? What do you think, older brothers and sisters? Something I said to my father that evening still haunts me. I said to him, "All these years I've been slaving for you and I've never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never gave me even a single young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But you know what? I never asked him for a young goat. I never asked him if I could have a party. It just didn't seem appropriate to do. It seemed frivolous to me to spend a bunch of money and invite a bunch of people over just to eat and drink and talk. He said, I'm a busy man. I have a lot of things on my mind, important things. Maybe someday when everything is caught up, I'll have time to relax. Besides, how would it look? How would it look if I, of all people, were drinking wine for no reason? How would it look if I, the manager, the owner, the responsible one, were out dancing? If I were singing? If I were telling jokes and acting as if I didn't have a care in the world? Is that how a mature, responsible person really acts? Honestly, I don't even really have that many friends. You know, I said to my dad, "You never let me invite my friends." I don't really have very many friends. Friends take time. I don't have time. Friends expect you to open up to them. But if I open up to them, they might find out those things that are inside me that I don't want anybody to know about, and I cannot afford that. That is showing people your weakness. People would not respect me anymore if they found out the things that I have inside me. I have to keep my distance. I don't know. Maybe I need more friends. Maybe I need to have a party. Maybe I need to blow a little bit of money every now and then. It was hard for me to say that. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just trying to figure out how I can be saved like my idiot brother was saved. Maybe I could look at the rewards of being responsible as my gift from God. Maybe that sense of a job well done. Maybe that little tingle that I feel when I'm able to help somebody less successful than me. Maybe those things are part of God's plan. Maybe in some way, being an older brother or sister, being the responsible one, maybe that's important to God. Of course, there is one other thing. Part of our salvation, older brothers and sisters, is the same as that experienced by our younger, less responsible siblings. Our sins are not as flashy, but they're no less deadly. In fact, in some ways, I wonder maybe if my sins aren't worse, just as a tumor growing inside you is worse than a skin rash. We tough people, we hard people, we need to repent of those hidden sins. Maybe only God knows what we're like on the inside, but we stand at the foot of the cross along with our weaker siblings. And we don't stand head and shoulders above them because we're more responsible. Their heads are bowed and they're weeping. We're standing tall and proud, but inside we are just as broken as they are. And you know, as I stand here telling you all this, I just thought of something. That title, The Story of the Lost Son, The Parable of the Prodigal Son. Maybe it's not talking about my brother at all. Maybe the story's about me. Older brothers and sisters, there may be no fatted calf for us. Not in this life. Maybe we'll never get that chance to savor the sweet music or the lighthearted laughter. But we go down the hill from Calvary, knowing that Jesus died for us too. We go down to the green valley to see our field of sprouting seed, knowing that all that He has is ours, and knowing that we belong to Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, loving Father, Creator of all the other older brothers and sisters of the world, have mercy on us. Heavenly Father, loving Father, Redeemer of all those whose sin gets exposed in a moment of jealousy or anger, have mercy on us. Heavenly Father, loving Father, Sustainer even of those who are serious and responsible and tough, give us Your peace. And thank You so much for giving us not the love that we deserve, but the love that we need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.